What's up, everybody? Welcome to Talking Some Sense, Season 1, Episode 3. I didn't do an episode the last 2 weeks for a couple reasons. 2 weeks ago, my guest was not able... Actually, no. Last 2 weeks ago, I took a break. And then last week, I was going to record an episode, but never really got around to it. So, yeah, I suppose that. So, tonight, I have a friend of mine. His name is Matt. I'll not try to pronounce his last name because I'm not going to be able to. So you go right ahead and introduce yourself.
All right. So am I heard? There's no problem audio wise.
We can hear you. So.
All right. So my name is Matthew Spaniolo.
Hello.
A little bit of a. It's okay. You don't need to say my last name. I can go by Matt. Whatever. It doesn't really matter. So a little bit of background of me. Currently I am enrolled in a program called sport management. If you don't know what that is, it's basically a business course that is revolved around sports. Basically, it talks about all the ins and outs of sport from all levels, and also talking about a bunch of stuff that goes into the business process, such as, you know, right now I'm studying like human resource management, so I'm learning stuff about that. I'm also learning stuff from marketing to programming events to actually running my events within the next few weeks. So that's fun. A little bit of a bio, I guess, of myself. I am a Leafs fan, so all Sens fans listening to this can butcher me and skewer me with my takes and whatnot. But I am neutral. I come in peace. I've been there before, so don't... don't jump to conclusions when I state my opinions. I write for Overtime Heroics as well as my friend here. Haven't written much yet. Looking to hopefully get some more stuff out soon. Times are getting a little stressful right now school-wise because obviously final assignments are due and then finals are obviously next month. So going to get a hold of that hopefully soon. Also, I guess worth noting if it matters, I'm also a baseball fan, so any baseball hockey questions I'm open to answer. And that's all there is to it. There's not really all that much to it. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I don't post that much, but I'm going to try and change that soon. My Twitter name is my name, which is Matthew, and then my last name, but it's spelled differently. So my Twitter handle is at Matthew Spaniolo. So that's S-P-A-N. And then YOLO because, well, that's pretty self-explanatory. So I'm sure when we put the podcast up, we'll link to our socials. So
yeah, I'll link to it.
Yeah. So, that's all there is for me bio-wise. So let's dive right into it.
All right. So let's get started into the Sens update. So... in a whirlwind of events, a lot of injuries have happened. So, well, a couple of injuries. Yeah, a bunch of injuries have happened. So, Colin White, a couple of games ago, got injured. And he was replaced by Logan Brown, who played two games in Colin White's spot. And got injured the last game he played. And ironically enough, that game, the next game is tonight. And Colin White is returning tonight. So... not too much of a juggle in the lineup in that sense, because it's the same player replacing himself, basically. But a little more of a more longer-term injury is Scott Sabourin. Did you hear about that injury?
Yep, I definitely saw that. It was pretty rough, but good to see that he was in good spirits afterwards.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was watching the game at work, but, like, I wasn't necessarily paying attention. Like, I was checking every now and then the game, but because I was at work, I wasn't able to pay attention 100%. I heard the crowd, and then I saw the replay, but...
yeah, that was something, yeah.
Give me a sec here. For God's sake, people are calling me. So, so what happened there was Sabourin was hit by, he was not looking, what I think happened was he wasn't looking up on the play, and David Backes at first it looked like a clean, like it was a clean hit that kind of misfired, I guess, in that sense.
Yeah, I think it was the way that I saw it was, it was kind of like just an awkward collision. Like, I think Backus tried to go into him and he tried to absorb it. And then that, I think, led to the whole aspect of him kind of colliding awkwardly. And then obviously what happened after was not exactly nice to see, but it was obviously glad to see that he was good, like, right away.
Yeah. See, what happened was, is like a, like the hit, the initial contact was good, but the whiplash caused by the hit was where both heads of the players collided, and that's where the injury happened.
Right.
And then when Sabrin's head hit Bax's helmet, he went out cold right away. And
yeah, he just went out.
Yeah. He just went out on contact, basically. So, like, it hurts, because I've been in situations like that before. It hurts a lot. But, like, hopefully he gets good recovery. Another thing that kind of touched my heart really was how David Backus reacted. Did you see how he reacted to that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he felt like shit, which I understand, because, like, you don't really want the guy to be injured, and I think he left the game after he was injured as well.
Yeah.
But obviously it's like, you know, I managed to walk off, he didn't. So there's a difference in that, definitely, for sure.
Exactly. Like, the thing is, like, what happened was, is he had that hit injured him, yes, but compared to the psychological aspect of knowing that you potentially ended a guy's career. Like in that moment, he must be thinking, "Oh no, I just ruined this guy's career." In that state, in that time. Obviously, now we know that he's okay and he's gonna make a full recovery, I'm pretty sure. But at the time, you're thinking, "Oh no, what did I do? Did I just destroy this guy's career after him fighting so hard to get in the NHL?" Like, all those feelings. Like, he started crying on the ice. Did you see that?
Yeah. I mean, especially because the kid was, like, the story was, you know, it was fantastic. You know, like, obviously there was the whole, like, crazy thing. No one knew who he was. Yeah. I think he was invited to the camp. He was on a PTO. There was that whole Matthews incident, which at the time was really funny, and then obviously scored in the first game of the season, which was funny because, of course, it happens, but more on my pessimism later. But, yeah, like, I always was a big fan of, like, people, like, Jordan journeyman Bush. Really getting, yeah, like, yes. getting opportunities in the league. The one that I really wish would have worked was, I think, Jeff Glass in Chicago. Because I remember many moons ago, he was, I think, the goalie for Team Canada at the World Juniors, and he was supposed to be really, really good, and then injuries, and then he went overseas for a bit, and then came back, was with the Marlies, I think, for about a season and a half, or no, I think he was only for a bit, and then he ended up going to Chicago, got a deal there, and then he just kind of fizzled out, so hopefully this one ends better.
Yeah, and kind of like, one thing that I find, like, a little side note is, every single year, Ottawa is able to find their story player. A couple of years ago, it was Christy Domenico. And that year after, it was Clark McCarver coming back from those concussions. Last year, I don't remember who it was last year. This year, it's really Pageau and Sabourin, really.
I mean, if I had to think, like, last year, there really wasn't a whole lot, because last year was more of the, okay, let's see how long until we trade X, Y, and Z, and what we get back for them.
Last year's really a shit show, but I find really that, like, teams that have a big story to the team succeed a lot because they have more to rally around. Last year's big story was, like, Leonard, really. You know?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. That's what I could think out of that.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'm off of, like, first thought, I don't have anything necessarily, so.
Yeah.
Unless there's like something else that I'm
That's all,
forgetting, which.
it's all I'm thinking of, really. But yeah. That's it on the Sabrin's injury. Did you hear that? What do you think of Nick Paul? What's your opinion of Nick Paul?
There's actually, I remember Nick Paul. He was a guy who I was like, this guy was, I think, really, wasn't he like a top round pick or something? I can't remember. Yeah, he was a first round pick. He pinged around from the, I think the AHL for a bit, and then he got called up and wasn't really anything special. And then now he's obviously having his
breakout.
I guess you could call this his coming out party. Which is good to see because, I mean, like the guys, you know, the guy's been playing for a while in the AHL. I mean, I like to see guys come out from junior and really play well. And it's clear right now he's kind of found an identity, which I think at the end of the day, that's kind of like what I think is like good line mates and good teammates can create a good thing and a good season for you. Just look. Pat Maroon, like 2 years ago in Edmonton. Now he's kind of like a fourth liner, more or less. But scored two goals today. So
as you
what
said,
do
it's
I
kind
know?
Of funny because I'm literally staring at my Edmonton Oilers Patrick Maroon jersey as you're saying that.
Okay, yeah. So perfect. We had the same idea in mind. So, I mean, yeah. Like to further go on that, I mean, like it's also like what I've noticed is in seasons where teams aren't expected to do as great as they are. There's all which they usually end up doing better. But I think like there's always a guy who steps up and people are like, I never really knew who this player was. Let me focus on that. Like the one that comes to mind aside from Patrick Maroon was I think sticking with Edmonton was I think Jujhar Khaira because no one knew who he was. I think he was the first player. I can't remember like what the background of him was, like what his ethnicity was. I think it was Middle Eastern. I'm not entirely
sure.
Don't quote me on that. Like I could be probably totally wrong. But yeah, he had a big thing, and you know it was really nice because he was playing all right, and then obviously kind of petered out a little bit. But that's the rest of the Oilers. But they're doing good, so who cares?
Another player like that was. For me, William Karlsson, or really the entirety of the Vegas.
For sure, exactly. This guy went from zero to hero in the span of a year.
Kind of quick question. What round was William Karlsson drafted in? Do you know?
I'm on Vegas's cap friendly, so I'll let you know. Exactly. He was originally. He was a second round pick. Yeah. Actually, no, he was a second round pick, 53rd overall by the Ducks. I believe he went unsigned, went to Columbus. He signed his ELC. Then he ended up signing with Columbus because I guess they left him untendered, which Anaheim's probably kicking themselves in the ass right now. Not as much as Columbus, but same concept. Yeah, because he played 18 games in Anaheim, scored 3 points, wasn't much. Then went to Columbus, was an okay, like, third-line player. And then all of a sudden, 78, 56, 16 points in 17 games. Like, I don't know what happened, but that's the thing. Like, people always, like, you look at players that struggle.
You got an opportunity, stuck with it.
Exactly.
See, the funny thing about William is... So, of course, it sucks for Anaheim that they didn't sign him or whatever. So, they're kicking themselves for that. But the thing is, Columbus didn't just lose him because he left him unprotected. They traded him to Vegas so Vegas wouldn't select Korpisalo.
Yeah, it was Korpisalo. They didn't want him to go. So, they're like, okay, take this guy. Which, I mean, like, at the time, like, looking at it, I guess they were really high on Wenberg. Which was fine, and if they managed to retain Matthew Shane, it would have been all right. But now, obviously, it's not because I don't know what. Yeah, like I don't know the forward situation right now in Columbus because I think like
Pierre-Luc Dubois and Atkinson on the first line. That's all I know about Columbus. But I'm
like there's those two, And then I forget.
I think, honestly, the best way to fix Columbus, now that we're talking about Columbus, is, honestly, fire, what's his name again? Their coach, Tortorella.
Yeah. Oh, Torts?
Give Wenberg
an
opportunity.
Yeah.
Wenberg never really got a proper opportunity in that 1 year.
Yeah, I could tell Torts does not like him, and when Torts doesn't like you, you're kind of you're in the shit house.
It's like oh,
like look at Ryan Johansson. Really? I thought that was an organization thing. I thought that wasn't just Julian.
It was mainly Claude Julien not liking. What happened was is Claude Julien didn't like Tyler Seguin because he's too much of a party animal. So Claude Julien, if I'm correct, that is if Claude Julien asked Boston to trade him.
So he's the reverse Dougie Hamilton, essentially. Yeah, that Dougie Hamilton's funny because, well, there's a funny story that involves Carolina and NHL 20, but I'll save that for later. Unless you want me to tell it now, because it doesn't matter. All right, so for those of you who know or don't know, the name of Steve Dangle, who is a YouTuber.
Funny one.
Who is crazy, yeah. So basically, a little over a week ago, so this is a very recent story. So Steve had a fundraiser event for Easter Seals Ontario. For those of you who don't know Easter Seals, it is a organization that has helped to help individuals, mainly children with physical disabilities. So basically, if a child is struggling to walk, they'll provide them with walkers and wheelchairs and whatnot. That's basically the basis of that. And Steve was a person who benefited from that family because of – or not that family, that organization. His family benefited from the organization. There we go. I sound better now. But basically, his goal was to raise $50,000 to go to the Eric Lindros Celebrity Hockey Classic. But now to the good part. So the event was basically – we rented out a Cineplex theater – and we were playing NHL 20 on the big screen, but for live streaming. So we were live streaming it on YouTube. So, yep, this is – well, I wasn't streaming it. Steve was. So we went to the event. I met a couple people there, and they were bidding a bunch of games off. They were auctioning them off. This one kid, I think, paid like $150, which is crazy. He was like 17 years old, and I'm like, dude, are you going to tell your parents? And then he's just like, no. And I'm like, okay. So then we get to me, and we're like throwing out random numbers that are just jokes at this point. Like the joke was everyone was betting $69. I think – I'm trying to think of what else. Yeah, the joke was everyone was betting $69. Oh, let me just grab that really quickly. So, yeah, we were all betting that. And then afterwards, we were, if I'm not mistaken, we're just throwing out random numbers. Oh, no, see. Thank you. Yeah, so basically, moral.
You cut out there, so I don't know if we can still hear you or not, but you're cut out right now.
$83.
Okay, you're good now.
I bet $83 because Cody Ceci is going to win a Norris one day. I hope. So that we'll get to CC in a minute. So then I ended up $200.
Yeah.
And I won it.
Oh my.
So what's even funnier about mine is I was on there for the shortest. So Steve picked the Leafs. I picked the Canes for two reasons. Number one, because James Reimer was starting goalie. And number two, because both Jake Gardner and Dougie Hamilton were defensemen.
Yeah.
So, long story short, I'm a petty little shit. I wanted to try and win and get a storm surge going in the theater.
Oh, my God.
And then I got shut out like 6-0. And I'm just like, oh. You can go on Steve's video. I'm at like the 130 mark. Preferably don't watch that, but or do. Doesn't necessarily matter to me.
That's funny.
But yeah, that was my little snake from Dougie Hamilton.
Yeah. That's funny because as you were saying that, I was looking at my James Reimer Toronto jersey too.
Exactly. See, everybody loved James Reimer. We have to trade him, but it's okay because Freddie is fine. So
I love Freddie. Honestly, yeah. Though, bringing back James Reimer, if the contract weren't that bad, bringing him as a backup would be amazing.
Exactly, yeah. Like, I honestly thought that Carolina was going to buy him out.
Yeah, same here.
But then I realized they bought out Marlowe, and I'm like, okay, I don't think they're going to eat two contracts, plus Reimer's eats over in the next year.
Yeah, exactly.
So I was like, what could have been, but whatever. Maybe in a few years when the Leafs are actually not, like, poker. Anyway, go on.
So, yeah, where was I? Notes there. But, yeah, all I have to say, we were talking about journey players, but we started talking about Dougie Hamilton. That's funny.
Yeah, I know. We went from party animals to Dougie Hamilton to talking about James Reimer. So,
yeah,
it all came full circle in the end.
It all started with Nick Paul, me asking about Nick Paul.
Yeah, so as you can see, Nick Paul's a very social player. He has a lot of friends. but yeah, long story short, Nick Paul, glad he's got this opportunity. Hope he keeps up the pace. But who knows at this point, because I guess apparently you can roll Anthony Duclair as a first liner. But I mean, you could have worse options.
I wrote a piece on Anthony Duclair being Ottawa's savior last year. I'll link it to you later.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Cool.
He's definitely looking at that. Goals cool. Right now.
Is he?
Oh no, he's second. Never mind. My bad. He's second. Yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say it because I'm like, I think there's another one,
yeah.
But
yeah, I'll tell you that in a minute. But yeah, basically.
Right.
The point I wanted to make was that Nick Paul is finally a permanent member of the Senators. After last game where he scored two goals, DJ Smith told him that he should buy or rent a house because he's not up for us a year.
Huh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Now, from a Leafs perspective, how are you handling DJ Smith for the first year? Or are you not really hating it?
I know it's quick and really, really soon in the season, but honestly, he might not have the exact same system as Boucher, but they're really similar coaches. They're really similar players, really similar demeanors. So I think you basically got rid of Guy Boucher to hire Guy Boucher 2.0, which makes no sense.
It's probably cheaper, Guy Boucher, because he probably cost less.
No, it's actually probably more expensive, Guy Boucher, because I think other teams were competing for I'm not too sure.
Yeah, that I'm wondering, because I think he's a rookie coach.
Yeah, he's a good coach, don't get me wrong. He's just...
Yeah, I know. It's just the systems are a little spotty.
Yeah.
And obviously some things are going to work nowadays, some aren't, so you got to kind of trial and error. But this is a good year to trial and error.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's a good coach, but my one criticism is you hired a coach to basically hire the exact same coach all over again. That's my one criticism.
Right.
I would have hired someone completely different.
I mean, yeah.
Like, all jokes aside, I would have hired Patrick Roy over DJ Smith, because Patrick Roy was interviewed.
Yeah, and I would have loved to see that, just because that would have been literally the biggest joke, but also the best joke, because those would be the interviews I would want to watch all the time.
Yeah.
Like, no shortage of a lie, because he says it like it is.
Yeah.
Like, so imagine...
Like John Tortorella.
Yeah, exactly.
But a more tolerable version of him, I guess.
I guess the nicest way is, I want to say, a more intelligent version of Torts.
Yeah.
But Torts has a Stanley Cup and playoff appearances, so.
Yeah, but I mean, you can't forget that Patrick was four cups plugging his ears.
Oh, right. Yeah, I forgot. They're really locked in there.
You can't forget about that one.
That's true. I can't.
But yeah. Next point on my thing is, I'll talk about the record. So this past week, before the Carolina Hurricanes game, the Senators have gone 2-1-0. Their first game of the week, they played New York Rangers, won 6-2. Next game was the day after against New York Islanders, lost 4-1. And a couple nights ago against LA, they won 3-2 in overtime. So my prediction for the Carolina Hurricanes game tonight, that starts soon, is I think Ottawa will win 4-2.
It's a possibility. I'm not going to rule it out. I mean, they did beat
LA and
like two not bad teams, so.
Yeah. Like, I mean, LA is terrible. No offense. They're terrible. They're last.
I'm calling right now.
They're last
in the LA league. Last in the league. Yep.
They're last.
Well, I don't know because Detroit exists, but Detroit is at least more ahead in the rebuild.
Oh yeah.
Than LA is.
LA's still at that point where they're in a rebuild, but they're not admitting it. They should be in a rebuild, but they're not wanting to accept it. That's their point. They're trying to compete just for a couple more years. Then I think it's dumb. I think just blow it up.
Rebuild. It strikes me as a team that doesn't know what they're doing because one night they scratched Tyler Toffoli, and then I think the next night he ended up scoring.
That's dumb. Honestly, I think Tyler Toffoli is one of their best players this year.
He's gonna get them something good at the deadline, probably.
Oh yeah, definitely.
But yeah, like
if you were just a couple years younger, I'd say keep him in for a rebuild. But he is 27. By the time the rebuild's done, he'll probably be like 35. Because like,
oh yeah, sell high,
huh?
Sell high on him at that point.
Yeah.
When a player hits like 25, 26, and you're not going to be able to retain him,
just sell. Yeah. Do what Otto did with Eric Carlson, Mark Stone, and Matt Duchene, and Ryan Dezingle, but get more for him.
I mean, yeah. Well, let's see. Well, I mean, like, the Carlson deal might help you out now because the Sharks are garbage.
Yeah. See, the thing was, if my whole problem with that Eric Carlson fiasco was we paid more to get Matt Duchene than we received for Eric Carlson.
Right. But then again, you have to remember that all the details in that trade are not set in stone because you still have their first round pick, which could be.
Yeah, which is going to be good.
Top five pick.
Which could be. It's going to, yeah, it should be. Yeah, so far it's the top five pick right now.
Exactly, yeah. And I don't think the Sharks are getting out of their rut.
No, I don't think so.
No way.
They're one team I can safely say they're not going to do good this year.
Pete DeBoer is going to get fired by Christmas, I'm calling it.
I think so too, yeah. I think he's one of the first coaches to go this year.
Yeah. Over John Hines is –
Hines stays for the year, honestly. I think John Hines stays at least this year and starts next year. Then he might get fired, but I think he's safe for
the year. Yeah, because –
he just got renewed.
And in his defense, his GM didn't address the goaltending.
No, not at all. See, the whole thing with New Jersey is – on paper, they're one of the better teams in the NHL, but with a terrible goalie.
Which is really sad because I remember Corey Schneider.
He used to be really good.
Yeah, and I think he had like a resurgence a little bit when it came to like.
I can safely say that Corey Schneider is the worst goalie in the NHL right now.
No. I think Jonathan Quick is worse.
No, I don't think so. I think Jonathan Quick is having a rough year, but he still has his skill.
True.
Crawford doesn't. Not Crawford, but Schneider doesn't. Why Crawford? What do I think?
Crawford's up there as one of the poor ones, too.
Pardon me?
Crawford, I think, is up there as one of the poor ones, too. He's had a rough going.
He's had a rough – but that's due to injury, right? So, like, he hasn't necessarily played much.
Right.
I think I'd – definitely he's declining, but he's not as good as he used to be, but he's still effective. Schneider isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't as effective, but he's still effective if he wants to be. Corey Schneider is just basically, honestly, like, no offense to Corey Schneider, but like, New Jersey would have more luck playing if six guys in the ice the entire game than he would with Corey Schneider playing that.
Yeah, I'm really wondering what's happening with that, because he's not hurt.
He was.
So I'm wondering if maybe it's like a psychological thing or.
See, what happened was what I think it is because 2 years ago he broke or whatever something to his hip, so he got a surgery. So maybe that messed up his game a little bit, but also because when he came back, Canada just scored.
Nice. Oh, wait, what? Which game is this?
World U17 bronze medal game. Canada versus Czech.
Ah, 2-2. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, sorry, I just saw that.
Yeah, it's fine. It's okay.
Wow. Nice. Anyways, so, like, the thing about Schneider is, that's a beautiful goal. Anyways, so Schneider, like, he had a surgery, so that kind of messed up his mojo a little bit. But coming back, he didn't come back strong, and that screwed up his mental. So, like...
Exactly. Like, once you're done, once you're done mentally, physically, it's like only a matter of time.
Yeah, I think honestly, the best thing for him is to call it quits soon.
Yeah, but that's going to be a huge recapture for Jersey. They had to get half for another 3 years.
This year and two more.
It's not right. So, yeah, that. Well, I mean, the only big boy contract that they would really need to pay is Taylor Hall, because Hughes is fine. They locked up Heisher, so.
Oh, yeah, they did lock up here. I forgot about that. And they have to lock up Subban soon. It's like 2 years, I think it is. It's soon. I know that.
We'll come back to that. I don't think that's going to be a thing for long.
No. But I think he's going to honestly make less than he's making right now. I think he'll make 6.5 tops.
Oh, yeah. He's taking a pay cut.
Oh, yeah.
Which he knew when he negotiated the contract that he wasn't going to be a $9 million player. But...
like, he's still good. He's still, like, elite. Just he's not as elite as he used to be.
Right. Although he's been pretty poor defensively as of late.
Yeah, honestly. But, yeah, next point is, I'll talk about the Sens leaders now. So, who do you think is leading goals?
This is a quiz. You told me this before. It wasn't Anthony Duclair. It was somebody else.
Yep.
Is it Pageau?
Yep. 7 goals. Okay. Patrick was leading 7 goals. Connor Brown is leading in assists with 10 and
points. That's a thing.
Yep.
I forgot that was a thing.
Yep.
I mean, God love him, but, like, of course, there's always got to be a one player that comes back and bites us in the ass.
Yeah. The thing with Connor Brown is like, he didn't fit in the Toronto top 6, so he was playing in the bottom 6. So, like, it's not his fault. It's just, he wasn't playing, and he didn't have the opportunity, just because
it's his coach. Which, again, I'll get to the coach later, because I think I might piss people off with my take.
Oh yeah, we'll talk more about the Leafs in your segment later, but yeah,
right.
So a couple other stats about the centers I found around the NHL. Pacho leads the league in plus minus. Did you know that?
I could guess. Is their penalty? Is their power play still like 31st?
I have no
idea. Like 5%.
I don't know, but it's pretty bad.
I remember it was literally like 5%. I remember I checked, and I'm just like, how can it be that low? Either they're not getting chances, or they just can't convert.
Not as bad as last year's 68% penalty kill, where the players started talking with Uber driver.
Oh God,
remember that?
That was yeah. Enjoy the Lyft sponsorship, because that's amazing. Because of course.
Now that you think of it, that's a way to silence that problem. Funny.
I mean, yeah, literally. Only it's like, okay, you're going to go ahead and do this crap, then screw you. I'm going to do business with the other one.
Exactly.
That's hilarious. Like, that's probably the funniest thing. Like, I read that, and I think I laughed for, like, a good 5 minutes.
Yeah, me too.
It was so good.
It was funny.
And, like, I can't even fault anybody, because it's genius. Exactly.
And, like, so Pageau leads the league in plus-minus. Chabot leads the league in time on ice. And Tierney is 13th for face-offs.
I'll say this. Thomas Chabot is probably one of the best defensemen right now.
Easily.
He's top. I remember I saw him. Yeah, he's top in ice time, like he just said. But this guy eats minutes like it's his job. I remember that gold medal game. 2016 against the States, I'm pretty sure that was the year.
Yep.
Yeah, and he played like, what, 35 minutes that night?
It was 40.
Which is even more insane, because, like, the kid was what? He was 18 at the time.
Yep.
And, like, at 18.
He was playing against his teammate now, Colin White, and Logan Brown in that game.
I always love it when I see, like, players – play at the international level, and then they come back and they'd be like, yeah,
We didn't mean to do that, but thanks for the win.
Yeah, that's funny.
And then you're just like, whatever. Like, I remember there was an NHL commercial with, I think, Taze and Kane, where they just went back and forth about it.
Yeah. And, yeah, that's really it for the Sens, I guess. Now we'll talk more on the NHL, you know we've been doing that. So, Pastrnak leads the league in goals with 15. McDavid leads the league in – pardon me?
Which is unfair that Pastrnak is scoring that, but whatever. Yeah. My buddy's a Bruins fan, so I have to give him heck.
Yeah. And then McDavid's leading assists with 19. And the league for points, it's tied 30 points. Pastrnak and Draisaitl.
Oilers fans can have a parade because of Draisaitl.
Yeah.
If you go on hockey Twitter and every single Oilers fan saying that McDavid is better than Draisaitl, like, honestly, who gives a shit?
I don't like. I think it's just, it's exactly another Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin situation. Honestly,
like they're both the same, basically.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay, but like,
it's funny though, because like.
But like, you look,
go ahead.
The argument that I have, which I know is going to sound so like homey and BS, but like you look at Draisaitl throughout his career since he broke out, who has he been playing primarily with? McDavid.
Yeah.
So yeah, of course he's going to be good when I play with X best player on the team, because not only am I A on his line, but B, I'm going to learn stuff from X player.
And C, he's already pretty good himself.
Exactly. And when Matthews broke into the league, there wasn't really anybody to, like, provide that with him. It was him. Like, okay, yeah, you have Marner and Nylander and Riley and whatever, but at the time, they were still unproven because that was his rookie year.
Yeah.
So, like, now, obviously, he has more of a consistent line pairings.
Oh, yeah.
But also, like, Draisaitl, I don't think, has been separated from McDavid for more than, I want to say, 10 games. Like, in his sense. Well, okay, since 17. Because I remember they played a part in that year.
Yeah. Best way to describe it, I guess, is how to explain it. I guess you could say honestly, best way to describe for me, I guess, is obviously you can compare, in this situation, you can compare McDavid to Crosby. Like, he's the best player, like, in of his area, he's the best player in the world, just like Crosby was the best player at his time. And
right, obviously.
And Malkin is the second fill to Crosby, but Malkin's always scored more goals than Crosby. And it's looking like Draisaitl's going to score more goals than Crosby than that McDavid.
Right. Well, at this point, yeah. Because I remember McDavid, I think, had 40-goal seasons.
Yep.
So I think Draisaitl hits 50. Oh, like, that's not out of the realm of possibility.
He hit 50. I think he hit 50 last year. He hit 50 for sure last year. I don't remember exactly what it was, though. It's 50-something. He was second in goals. That's all I know.
Sorry about that crash, but it's okay.
It's all right.
Other stuff around the league. Trying to think. Detroit winning against Boston was funny.
Yeah.
Fabry scoring 2 goals in his debut was big.
Oh, I didn't.
Because now I think Detroit is like, okay, we have something here.
Yeah.
Which is good for them. I'm trying to think of what else. McKinnon got hurt, but then he came back. Nashville got killed against Colorado like 2 nights ago. Buffalo lost 5 straight. I think we should talk about Buffalo for a bit because I don't know what this team is. Like, it's weird.
It is a weird team. It's honestly just a replay of last year. That's what we described. They started off strong, then they lost their
And then they
I think that has to do with their coach, because like they seem to be a team that like thinks high of themselves and gets overconfident.
Yeah, exactly what I was about to say. Like,
and that's the coach's job to correct. And he's not
been able
to
do it yet.
Like, I wouldn't say fire him, but like, talk to him about it, you know?
Yeah, like, God love Ralph Kruger, because he went through hell in Edmonton when he had, like, nobody.
Yeah.
But you've coached before. I think he went to Europe, coached for a bit.
He became like, a soccer dude.
Yeah. So, like, if I'm him, like, they just lost 5 straight today. Yes, they lost back-to-back against Tampa, but whatever. You're supposed to beat good teams regardless of your record. So, I mean, I would go into that dressing room and be like, okay, that was that. We've lost 5 straight. We're getting outscored. The goalies can't do everything. What are you guys going to do about it?
Yeah. See, offensively, they can score goals. There's just – they can't keep the puck out of the net, I find.
Which is crazy because I think Hutton is at the top of the league in, like, save percentage.
He's top, yeah.
And same with Ullmark. So, like, it's the same situation as last year. They rode a really, really hot record and hot scoring streak going into December.
And got overconfident.
And then January happened, and then it's just, like further down. And it's just like, okay, clearly it's not the coach. So let's bring in a guy who can change that.
Yeah. See, what it is it's like it's not the coach's fault, but it's the coach's problem.
Exactly, because we see it in pro sports all the time. Like, yeah, you can have star players run the team, but they get too high on their overconfidence or on their confidence or on themselves, and then they end up falling asleep.
Yeah.
Like, and I get, like, one of the funniest things I think, one of the interesting things I heard last year was this for the Kings. I think that, yeah, they just fired their coach, which was, I believe, John Stevens at the time.
Yeah.
They brought Desjardins, and I remember, I think it was on the Steve Dangle podcast, ironically, and I think Steve or Adam, they were just like, are you going to let Willie Desjardins, who hasn't won anything, tell Ilya Kovalchuk what to do, or Anze Kopitar what to do, and like, and so on and so forth? Because they'll be like, I don't want to listen to him. I already won 2 Stanley Cups without.
When the player has more success than the coach, then the player gets extremely, extremely cocky.
Yeah, and that's along the line of players who don't have the best poise or the best openness to learn. Because Kovalchuk, just to use him as an example, is what, 37? He's made his money. He scores goals. He went to Russia. He's like, okay, maybe I'll come back.
Yeah.
And probably like either A, this is not how I played back in the day because I'm Ilya freaking Kovalchuk, or B, he was just like, why am I playing like 12 minutes when I should be playing 20?
Yeah, because don't get me wrong, he is older now, but he's still the same player. He's playing it for a really worse caliber team.
And yeah, and he's slower.
The coach is trying to use him on the penalty kill, I'm pretty sure. And he's not a penalty kill player.
Yeah, another thing that, like, I'm getting pissed off at, coaches using players in roles that they should not be, like, having.
Yeah, like Nick Paul in the power play. Like, I love Nick Paul, don't get me wrong, but he's not a guy you want in the power play.
Yeah, Toronto is a prime example. Why is Tyson Barry, who is the team's arguable, like, second best defenseman, aside from
Riley.
Either Riley or Muzzin. Like, why is he not getting power play time?
Exactly. Why is he getting penalty kill time?
And I think I read earlier today that Babcock is basically turning him into what Zaitsev was, and I'm just like, for the love of God, don't let this coach do anything anymore.
Yeah.
Because, like, I'll touch on that now, like, because I figured now it's a good time. Like, should Mike Babcock get fired because of the way he's coaching? Yes and no. Because, one, the team's winning, and you should expect more from your $11 million trio, who are your three best players, which, yes, you should expect that. But to counter that, why is Mitch Marner taking faceoffs on the penalty kill? Why do you immediately go to the fourth line after a penalty kill or a line change? And another one that pissed me off against Vegas. Why is Travis Dermott playing 8 minutes a night and Cody Ceci playing 25?
Yep.
Like, God love Dermott. I know he's coming back from injury and you want to kind of ease your player back in. But for the love of God, if he looks fine and he's skating, put him out there.
Yeah.
Unless there's something we don't know, which might be. But, like, CC playing 25 a night should never happen.
See, what's like, happening? What I think it is that Babcock likes the game for whatever reason that Cody CC plays, and he considers Cody CC experience because he dealt with Ottawa.
Okay, to counter that, look where Ottawa is in the standings and look
exactly.
At
you. Exactly.
And you look at the way that the league is playing, shouldn't you want Tyson Barrie, who was arguably the best defenseman on that Colorado power play that was so deadly? Like, why not go? And I know that they have so much talent to go around.
Yeah.
So how about this? You go top line power play, Matthews, Marner, or Tavares, whatever. You have those three, and then you have Riley, and you have Barrie. And I know they want to put Nylander there, which I understand that, because Nylander and Matthews together is like peanut butter and jelly.
Yeah.
But just roll – and I know they don't want to do two defensemen on the power play because that's not the way the game's moving. But just give him a chance. And another thing that I am annoyed with, Ian Tulloch, who is a really, really good writer for The Athletic, he writes for the Leafs. I read one of his pieces today talking about the Leafs' struggles. And he said, the increased amount of point shots. And I'm like, absolutely. Like, their defense at least could skate.
Yeah, because, like...
Like, I don't know if Babcock doesn't trust them.
He doesn't.
I don't know. Like, I can't describe, like, what the reasoning behind that is.
See, like... On that point, shots in the point comments, like a little bit of my hockey experiences. My coach for my current team right now says shots from all over the place is better than no shots at all.
Right.
Because, like, even if it is just a random shot that shouldn't go in, sometimes a goalie will expect it to miss the net, but sometimes it might actually go in.
Which, yes,
power
but...
Play. On the power, like, sure, cycling the puck looks cool and all, but the power play. Don't waste your power play passing. Use your power play to shoot.
Exactly. Which, again, talking about my team again, when they have a power play, they don't like to shoot the puck.
No, they like passing it. Otter likes that too. Otter doesn't shoot enough in the power play. They pass more in the power play, and they shoot, and it gets on my nerves.
I think that's also a maturity thing. Like, this team has finishers. Tavares will put the puck in the back of the net. You know, Matthews will do it as well.
Yeah.
Nylander on occasion will. He doesn't miss. Yeah. at the same time, shoot the puck. Yeah. And I know on a blue moon, once in a blue moon, they will shoot the puck. But I need more than once in a blue moon. I need constant shots, because when you play the Bruins, which we have twice, which granted the second time we don't talk about, but they made that more competitive than they should have. Like, they shot the puck.
Yep.
Like right now, I'm looking at my screen right now. They're at least putting the puck on net. But even still, what the hell? Oh, okay, all right. Oh, never mind.
Oh,
that almost led to something, but didn't. So
I believe you scored against Toronto.
Well, oh, it's delayed on my thing. Oh shit! Wait.
That's that. Yeah.
Well, okay. That shot. Who shot it?
Oh my didn't god! Didn't just Nylander. Google? Shoot the puck! Don't pass. What he did there,
yeah.
He tried faking to pass it. Oh my god.
Why, yeah, that was, he lost, yeah, he fanned on it. Oh my good god.
He was stopping the puck to find
that's on Willie, and yep, Barry's there, committed to his man. Muzzin can't block the shot. Yep, seen all this before.
Yeah, he was looking for instead of looking for a shot.
I just saw that Philly fan behind the bench or behind the net just lose it. Oh my god!
I didn't even see it.
There was a guy that like jumped up and like threw his arm out. I think he like chucked his hat on the ground. I'm like, buddy, relax. The first goal. But
that's funny. God. Oh, I think Otter just scored. I can't seem to get the game tonight because my TV's being dumb for a Sens game. So there's that. I'm watching a Toronto game.
Well, if you have it on, let me see on my box here. Let me see if I can look at it. Yeah. Oh, I guess because
Sens are leading 1-0 right now. Slapik just scored for Ottawa.
Yeah, Sportsnet 1 has it.
I don't have Sportsnet then, apparently.
I look again. Oh, okay, that's why.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm looking around,
so I'm still trying to figure out what channels I have and what channels I don't have.
Oh, okay. I feel you.
Yeah. So I gotta swap some channels out.
Yeah, it's going to be annoying.
Yeah, pain in the butt. But yeah, so back to that. So why don't we talk about the standings? I have the standings right here on my board. Want to talk about them?
Yeah, because there's a lot I have to say. In the East, Boston's not a surprise.
I'll read the standings out really quick, okay?
All right, go for it.
I'll start with the Metro. Washington has a 12-2-3 record for 27 points. New York Islanders are 12-3-1 for 25 points. Pittsburgh is 9-6-1 for 19. Carolina is 9-6-1 for 19 as well. They have the first wild card. Philadelphia is 8-5-2, 18 points. New York Rangers 7-6-1, 15 points. Columbus 4-7-4, 12 points. Any comments on the Metro?
I thought that the Rangers and the Devils would have better seasons so far, but obviously they haven't. New York's played a lot better recently when they're not letting Henrik Lundqvist face like 15,000 shots a night because the poor guy is going to die. Jersey, we went through already. It's surprising that they're that bad. Columbus, I expected that they were better for a bit, but now they're skidding, which I expected.
Yeah. This surprised me. Their best players.
Yeah. The Islanders are proving that their last season wasn't a fluke, which is good. They're playing more like a team, which hats off to them. They're doing that well.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what else. Pittsburgh, I didn't think was going to be that
good. Philadelphia surprises me.
Both Pennsylvania teams, I'm just like, oh, like, I didn't expect you guys.
Pittsburgh doesn't surprise me at all because, like, you can only be good for so long. And, like, they made the playoffs 10 straight years almost, right? So, like, you can only be good for so long. So, Pittsburgh doesn't surprise me. Philadelphia surprised me. I thought they'd be better.
Yeah. Also, their goaltending has been a little pedestrian, but
Is Carter Hart starting?
I think they're splitting it. I think they're getting a lot more back-to-backs. Okay. I know Carter Hart is now getting his groove back. Elliott's just there. They're based. It's a cap hit, okay, and it's a guy that they can use as a backup.
I like
Elliott. Yeah. He's one. Yeah, he's one of Don Cherry's two favorite goalies, aside from Mike Smith, who he has a really unhealthy obsession with because he's from Kingston. That's the only reason why.
He's good at Toronto boys. Or he's good at Canadian boys.
Yeah. It's because he plays the puck and he's from Kingston. That's it.
Oh, he's terrible at playing
the puck. Well, according to Grapes, he's amazing, but I don't know what Grapes thinks anymore. He's still entertaining, but he's questionable.
Yeah. But yeah, let's go to the Atlantic Division.
Oh, boy.
Boston leads division 11-3-2 for 24 points. Toronto is second with 9-5-3, 21. Buffalo 9-6-2, 20. Montreal is a wild card with 8-5-3, 19. Florida 7-4-5, 19. Tampa 8-5-2, 18. Ottawa 5-9-1, 11. Detroit 5-12-1, 11. Comments?
Florida, I'm surprised their record, considering their goaltending has been literally, like Bobrovsky, I think it's like an 860.
897.
Oh, it's gotten better. Okay, all right. Montreal should be a lot better than what they are. But yeah, I knew going into the season their defense wasn't good enough. And I know that's rich from me, a Leafs fan, but holy lord, their left side is not great.
See, the thing is with Montreal is I know they're not gonna make my prediction is they're not gonna make the playoffs, but they're gonna they're a step in the right direction.
Sure, yeah. And they're still a very young team, and like they have guys that are good, like Domi. Yeah. I love Brendan Gallagher, even though he's a little shit.
Durant's finally smarting up.
I thought he was gone, but I guess they're probably like, hey, he still can play. So, it's whatever. But...
yeah. He's going to be next captain.
I thought... Weber's gone?
Knowing Marper.
If he sticks around that long, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. Buffalo is obviously a surprise, but...
Tampa's an extreme surprise for me.
Oh, they're celebrating that kid's birthday again. Oh, that's awesome. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I saw that.
That kid, I feel so happy for that kid. Because not only did he get hockey players, he got, Mark Hamill. I think, they got John Torrey, bunch of people. And I'm just like, that's a nice moment that people can just go out and make that kid's day.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway.
How it happened, though, stuff. How it happened.
Yeah, sucks. I mean, obviously, the root of the problem was horrible because growing up as a kid, I've been, through certain, rough stuff, and I'm just like, man, that sucks. But the literally, got together and was just like, hey, let's take, a few seconds out of our day just to wish this kid a happy birthday, It's pretty special, and it proves that not everyone in the world is horrible because people exist. But anyway, Atlantic Division, that's more or less than I think of it.
Yeah. Let's move on to the West now.
Oh, boy. Oh, this one's going to be interesting. Yeah. This one's the most interesting. In the
Central, we have St. Louis, 11-3-3 for 25. They're first in West. Washington, Nashville, I don't remember the exact record. I kind of scratched it out. But I think they have 24 points. Colorado is 9-5-2 for 20. Winnipeg is 9-7-1 for 19. Dallas, 8-8-1 for 17. Chicago is 5-7-3 for 13. Minnesota is 5-10-1 for 11. My comments here is Now that I think of Winnipeg, I just feel so bad for them.
The fact that they're doing this without arguably their best defenseman is very heartwarming. Yeah.
There's only like two players in their D-core.
They have, yeah.
The entire D-core that played in the NHL last year.
Yeah, it's Neil Pionk and I think, what, Kulikov?
Beaulieu.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I forgot about Nathan Beaulieu. But yeah, the fact that they're doing this without a D-core is showing, A, how strong their goaltending is. Hellebuck has really bailed them out. And B, how their offense has been. But also,
yep.
Paul Maurice really deserves credit. Like, he's a great coach. Like, he had a very unfair stay here. If there's a coach that I think right now probably deserves a Stanley Cup, it would be him, because he is one of the longest tenured coaches in the league. I think he's the longest. No, I remember. Yeah, I was looking. Earlier today, I was looking at the longest tenured like coach since they signed their deals, like contractually.
What the heck did you do there?
What the what? What?
Carter Hart just speared someone there.
Oof.
Go ahead, continue.
First of all, why don't you score on that? But anyway, more on that later. I looked at the longest like coaches since they've been hired. John Cooper has been around since 2013, which is so freaking weird.
Yeah, because he replaced Guy Boucher.
Yeah, that's a thing that happened. That's weird. But yeah, if I had to pick a guy who deserves a cup, probably Paul Maurice.
John Cooper too.
As well in the Central, Chicago should be a lot better. They are riding Robin Lehner until his legs fall off. Like, oh my god. Like, this guy, like, I'm not even joking right now. If Robin Lehner does not get the Vezina, it's rigged. It's rigged. It's BS.
It's not even Carter Hart tonight. It's Brian Elliott tonight.
Yeah, I know. That was really weird. I'm like, what the hell?
It was. He, like, destroyed Mitch Marner there.
Let me see. Could he have scored? Okay. It was a good poke check. Marner just took a bump like he was a wrestler, which good on him for getting his chest hair. As far as everyone else in the Central, St. Louis, when they get goaltending, they're fucking unstoppable.
Dallas surprises me big time.
I'm glad that they're better now. I'm glad that this team is better. 7-3 in their last 10.
Yeah,
Dallas, to me, yeah. This was also, I think, the same case last year. They really kind of started out slow. Yeah. I don't know if it was Jim Montgomery. I don't know if it was Jamie Benn or whatever. Someone
already saying fire Jim Montgomery, but like I don't know. I'd give him another year or two.
I mean, it's an option. It's an option, but I don't know if it goes through.
Like, don't fire a coach after one season. That's retarded.
I mean, yeah, but you look around everyone else in pro sport, and it happens all the time. I think the NHL, they're a little more, like, lenient. But, like, Chicago is impatient because they've had 3 seasons now, going on 4, looks like it, that are just friggin' clown shows. So, like, if I'm them, I'm – well, okay, I don't know if I would let Stan Bowman go because he's done good.
I would.
He's done good, but
I think he's running his course.
I mean,
he's running his course.
Yeah. Also, my opinion, the Panthers are a Eastern version Blackhawks.
Yep.
Not just because they have their former GM and coach. Like, it's obvious, but
they're built similarly.
Exactly. Barkov is a better Taze. Yeah, I said it. Come at me, Blackhawk fans.
I agree. Taves is not what he used to be.
There's a guy in my program. Well, there's 2 guys in my program. One guy who's like a really like rides Tampa really hard. And then he literally got up in front of everybody. He's just like, I literally thought Tampa was not going to win the cup. And I'm just like, bullshit. You were riding the gravy train.
Yeah.
And then this other guy's just like, oh, Chicago was good. They won three cups, like, you know, X amount of years ago. Okay, that's X amount of years ago. This is now. That's like saying, like, I graduated from.
That's just like saying I like the Edmonton Oilers because of Wayne Gretzky.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, it's not the same thing.
Well, same idea, different time frame.
Well, more like saying the Edmonton Oilers are good because they have Connor McDavid.
Yeah.
Or no, because they had. Yeah.
Like you said, had, because they won't in a few years. I'm kidding.
Yeah.
I'm a desperate fan. But yeah, Central, aside from that, Minnesota's bad. Like,
everybody, honestly. Like,
I did not think a GM could come into a job within how long was Paul Fenton hired? Like, less than a year.
12 months. It was a year.
He had a hell of a year, and not in a good way. And some of the stuff that I heard he did was just so bonehead. Like,
Paul Fenton is the worst GM in the history of the NHL.
Yeah, in the modern era, for sure. And, like, this is an era where we had, what? I'm trying to think of, like, bad GMs. There was
Peter Chiarelli.
Yep, Chiarelli. Dave Nonis was horrible. There was some.
The deal before Brian Murray in Ottawa, he was bad.
He had some spurts, but that's more of a, like, in his case scenario, it's more of a sign of age and being on the job too long.
The guy before Brian Murray.
Oh, I thought you said Brian Murray. And I'm like, no.
Brian Murray was amazing. Brian Murray was, in my opinion, Brian Murray is one of the greatest general managers of all time. And I'm not just saying as a Sens fan.
He's done a lot for that organization. I don't know if he's like the best ever, but he's up there.
He's amazing GM, but honestly a better coach.
Yeah, I forgot. I keep forgetting that, like, sometimes, like, GMs ended up, like, coaching as well. Like, I remember, I think Lou Lamoriello went from being, like, a math teacher at a high school to getting his law degree, I think. Then he, like, coached the Devils for a bit. And I'm just like, I cannot imagine John that Cooper, man coaching.
Yeah. John Cooper was a lawyer, then started coaching his son's minor hockey team or whatever I think it was.
Yeah.
And then just hired by the NHL.
That's another thing that's really good about sport management is that there really isn't any, like, level that you can't reach. Like, there's professional, there's minor, there's U Sport, which is really growing, which I'm going to try to get into that market because it's a really good market. Plus, I could go to university if I choose to. On the side. So that's like the main goal right now.
Mm.
But yeah, like, that's the thing. Like, sport management, like, you can literally, like, go from being a minor league coach for like a decade and then you could go somewhere else. Like, I had a guest speaker last Tuesday.
Oh, Philly just scored again.
Did they actually? Fuck.
Yeah. That was a good player, though.
Dude, I'm honestly thinking that this game, they should have just started Hutch. Like, at this point.
Yeah. Like, it's just, but it's not Anthony's fault, but honestly, just don't put your starting goalie in situations where he's going to fail.
Yeah. I'll do you one better. Don't put your goalies in situations where you're going to fail, because it's a waste of time. B, it's a waste of time for your players who suit up to play for the goalie, and C, you're killing his confidence. And not just Hutchinson. There was another example last year. I don't know if you remember the Michael DiPietro game, but they could have literally gone out and gotten like a journeyman, like the Leafs did last year when their goaltending was to shit. But what?
Mm-hmm.
What? 19. All right. Now it should be better.
Yeah. So
yeah, that was.
We kind of lost what you're saying. So let's just get into the Pacific Division now, since we never did it.
All right, yeah, that's fair.
So we'll start off with the Edmonton Oilers. They got 11-5-2 record. Calgary Flames are 10-7-2, 22 points. Vancouver Canucks, 9-5-3, 21. Vegas, 9-5-3, 21. Arizona, 9-5-2, for 20. Anaheim, 9-7-1, for 19. San Jose, 10-1, 13. LA, 5-10-1, for 11. As a Sens fan, I'm very, very, very happy about the San Jose Sharks sucking this year.
Yeah, I would be too, considering that you could get two lottery picks.
Yep.
Vancouver doing good is very rewarding because their team's arguably one of the better ones I've seen play.
Yeah.
Trying to think of like other ones. Calgary is a very weird team because I don't think they should have the record that they have right now. Hey, overtime wins count.
Yeah.
So I can't hate on that. So good for Calgary. Vancouver, great. Edmonton, yeah. I mean, you know, if it'll shut Oilers fans up, sure. What other teams did we mention? San Jose being bad. I knew they were going to drop off. I didn't think this hard. Friggin' Martin Jones, man. Just, I don't know. LA has been pretty bad. We already went on that earlier. What team am I missing? Anaheim's weird.
They're weird. Because they're team to gauge.
Yeah, like
they could be better great. At the same time. I don't know, because their core's
as a defensive team, phenomenal. As an offensive team, oh my god, what is going on with this team? Like, dude, that's weird. Like that is strange. Like, I can't even wrap my head around that. Is there a team that I'm missing that I haven't touched yet? Colorado, I went on earlier. They're fine, even though they're not Pacific. I feel like I'm missing a team or two. Vegas is like Toronto now.
Yeah.
Where I thought they would be a lot better, but they've kind of struggled a little bit. And with Marc-Andre Fleury as your goalie, how do you struggle? Because it's Marc-Andre Fleury, like top five goalie of all time, arguably. Aside that, not too many surprises in the West. I'm glad that some teams are doing better. Arizona is a team that I completely forgot about earlier. Oh my god, they're actually pretty good.
I'm happy you're doing good, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that they have a sense of identity now. I like the fact that I like that they have Phil Kessel. But besides that, I mean, they're better, which is great. I think that's all there is to it to the league. If I had to pick a biggest surprise, obviously Edmonton. Biggest surprise in a bad way.
At the same time, I wouldn't consider Edmonton too much a surprise because they did do a lot this offseason. They got a new coach, new general manager. They got a new top six winger. They did a lot of work this offseason. They got a new starting goalie. So Edmonton doesn't surprise me at all, honestly.
From that perspective, I understand because like they did add a lot, but like the names that they brought in, not to say that they're bad, but it was almost like Oilers fans at the time were like, okay, we have this player, now what? But now they're like, holy hell, we have like two goalies that could win the Vezina and blah blah blah, whatever.
The thing with James Neal, because I knew he just had a bad year in Calgary. He just had a bad year, and everybody was overreacting terribly. I knew he was gonna bounce back. I even said it in the video, I think. But like everybody decided to hate on. Like, it's one thing I hate really about sports nowadays is the media really hates on a player if he has a bad stretch. Let the player bad. Let him get out of it.
I honestly like would like to get a career in sport media, you know, regardless of how my program ends right now. But like, I just hate this, like, the cynical aspect of like what a lot of
these like guys have to say, like especially like looking at like the Sportsnet panel and like you see guys like Burke and like all of them just like, well, this player's bad because of this reason. I'm just like, dude, like it's not like maybe he's had like a bad week or
yeah,
stuff like that. Like, don't go ahead and shit on a player for that. Like, that's just unprofessional to me.
A good explanation is Rob Leonard. They're shit on him saying he's the worst goalie in the league a couple of years ago. But all it was yeah. that he had a lot
he
of
had
situations.
He even said it himself. If you like look at Leonard, I can't remember what game it was. I want to say it was their game against Vancouver. He's just like, yeah, I played in front of like the worst team defensively for the last 2 years. And like, is he wrong? No. Buffalo was horrifically bad the last 2 years defensively.
Yeah.
Well, 3 years now because he didn't play there last year. But yeah, like,
yeah. I'm gonna thank Leonard though for multiple. He was good in Ottawa, but also he is the reason why Ottawa has Colin White now.
Is that really what they got back from them?
Ottawa got the pick that turned into Colin White.
I forgot what that trade was. I remember they traded Leonard to Buffalo.
Yep.
But I remember like Buffalo made the two trades. They made the trade for Ryan O'Reilly.
That's the same year.
Yeah, it was at the draft. They made the trade for Ryan O'Reilly, and then they got Leonard. I think either before. I think it was before they got Leonard the first. And then they went and got they got Ryan O'Reilly right after, which I mean that should have been like 2016. The Sabres should have made the playoffs, I think. I wouldn't go that far, but I mean, you had one of the best two-way centers in the game, like in his prime, when he's not going into Tim Hortons all sloshed. But you have him, you have Lehner, who should win the Vezina within the next, like, 2 years, arguably. And then what else am I gonna say? I don't even, well, I mean, like, okay, Eichel, yeah. I don't know if they had Ryan Hart at the time. I think they did. Nope. Yeah, that sounds about right. As far as like other like stuff that has gone with that team, yeah, like they should be a lot better than what they are now. But they have Rasmus Dahlin, so who cares? It's like you get something good, and you're just like, okay, whatever. I completely forget that we're bad now because we have this good player. But yeah, that's more or less what could be said about that. Unless you have anything else you'd want to talk about in that regard. Just trying to think. Crap, did it die out again? All right, are we all right? Are we all good?
I think so.
All right, let's hope.
If I were in charge segment. So I'll start off by saying my lines. Here, give me a sec here.
Okay.
So first on, I would put Tkachuk, Pajot, and Domestikov. For a while, I had White in the first line, but because he's not performing nearly as good as people thought he was going to, myself included, I dropped him down a little bit. So second line, I have Duclair, White, and Brown. Third line, I have Jonathan Davidson, Chris Tierney, and Bobby Ryan. Fourth line, I have Mikhail Bodker, Nick Paul, and Philip Schlappen. On a D pair, usually I keep it the same because I thought for a while it was working. But now it's not working. I would do Chabot and Zaitsev, Borowiecki and Heinze, and DeMelo and Brännström. Because Brännström has kind of been invisible this year. So drop him down a little bit. Worst comes to worst, drop him down in the AHL, let him play there, bring him back up when he's better.
Fair enough. I would agree.
Any
with
comments
that.
On that?
No. I mean, obviously, I wouldn't want Zaitsev on any of my pairing. Well, okay. I don't want to hate on
for Ottawa.
Yeah. Advanced numbers say otherwise, but I don't always believe the analytics.
No. Because the eyeball test, he hasn't been terrible.
Yeah, the eyeball test says a lot. And it wasn't always – Zaitsev wasn't bad all the time when he was here. It was also the dude, like – I don't know how to describe it, but, like, he was just invisible. Like, all he did all game was ice the puck, you know, try a stretch pass. It didn't work. And then, like, I think the next thing he did was – he occasionally shot the puck. Like, I think, I don't know. I think Mike Babcock ruined him, but I don't know. He's ruining Type 2, which, for the love of God, don't, but whatever. Barry's not coming back next year. I'm already accepted Barry's not going to come back next year.
Well, you never know. You never know.
I mean, yeah, it's only November, which is, again, still early, but I don't know. I just, if he continues doing what he's doing, I don't know what I would do in that scenario, but again, who knows?
Yeah.
It's still a very weird scenario. No, but yeah, you're welcome for Connor Brown. He's a very solid player. I believe you also have Michael Carcone, who I don't think is anywhere near the NHL.
He's in the AHL.
So he was a pesky little player. Which I didn't really know that much about him. All I remember was he was traded for Josh Levo, and he was a decent replacement for Levo, but that's it. That's all I really know about him. Aside from he is an Ottawa Senator, well, he's a Belleville Senator, but you get the idea.
Yeah. Anything on him, honestly.
Yeah. Like he's better than what I knew about Aaron Luchuk, but apparently Luchuk killed the ECHL, so at least he's better in the AHL, which I'd like to see what he can do, because it's a very limited sample size.
Yeah.
Also, if I had the choice, I would love to work with the Marlies over the Leafs, because it just seems like so much fun.
Yeah.
Like I'd have less stress, because if I was with the Leafs, I'd be like, okay, we need to win now.
A stressful job, especially with the massive fan base.
Yeah, like, no, I remember, like, I was talking with – yeah, no, I understand completely. Like, anything in Toronto, I think, right now, like, working for the Raptors right now would be demanding. TFC right now is exploding. Well, they should be, hopefully, after tomorrow, fingers crossed. But, yeah, like, hockey, like, unless it was, like, you know, very interesting job, like, marketing or whatever, like, I would not want to work in Toronto.
No.
Like, at least at the major league level. But yeah, that's just me. As far as like, I don't know, do you want me to like say my ideal Leaf pairings? Because that might take a while.
Go ahead. We can drop into your statement now about the Leafs. Go right ahead.
Right. Okay. So moral of the story, every single Sens fan that listens to this is going to hate this part. So you can always skip it, because I get it. You don't want to hear about Toronto. Shit like that. I get it. I'm on Twitter. I'm aware. So, yeah, what would I do if I was the Leafs? Well, first of things first is, first of all, Cody Ceci should be playing bottom minutes.
He should be in
the think Sens fans. Well, yeah, he would be. I'd want him to be like an injury, like 7th D, play him if you have to.
Yeah.
Type player, but
We're not in that situation, unfortunately.
Like, just think of it this way. You're paying Cody CeCe more than what you're paying Tyson Barry.
Yeah, because Barry was his contract was retained, which, thank God, Joe Sakic's like, yeah, sure, why not? I'll do that. Because he's like, okay, I already have two players that could be better than Barry in Gerard and Makar, and now you have Byram that's coming up, so they're fine. Oh, boy.
Hey, and this is a post-recording Jake here. I'm not with Matt right now because technical difficulties prevented us from finishing the podcast till a couple, till 2 days later, where I am right now, finishing up editing. So many technical difficulties happened that I wasn't even able to finish editing the actual podcast without me getting absolutely fed up. So the podcast isn't perfect this week, and I'm sorry for that, but technical difficulties. So anyways, to conclude this podcast, I want to thank Matt for coming in and spending a good two and a half hours-ish. And I really want to thank him for spending his time recording this podcast with me, and just want to give another shout out, Matthew Spaniolo on Twitter. Matthew Spaniolo, Spaniolo. He's a Leafs fan, I'm a Sens fan. That was your edition of this week's, that was your weekly edition of Talking Some Sens. If you haven't already, just follow me on Twitter at GrunlickYogs or at Some Sens. And this broadcast is brought to you by Overtime Heroics. I write for Overtime Heroics, so does Matt. And, yeah, that's it. See you in the next one.